Please be seated. This morning we're going to do something a little different. In order to crack the nut that is the Trinity, I'm asking Dave here to help me with this presentation this morning. Come on up, Dave. We're going to have an interview between a Christian pastor and a Muslim friend. And the idea is to try to understand a little better about the one true God. We learned about that in the children's focus. But Muslims, of course, like Jews and Christians, believe there's only one God. But a Muslim believes that there's only one true God and that God doesn't have a son. That there was Jesus, but he was a prophet. He was a man. He wasn't God. So this is kind of a way of entering into that kind of a respectful conversation between a Muslim and a Christian. And I think I'm grateful for Dave helping me. In order to kind of create the illusion, I'm going to I'll just take off a couple of items here just to help with that. It's said that when a preacher preaches on the Trinity, it's a little bit like the Trinity in the sense that the preacher is incomprehensible on Sunday and invisible the rest of the week. So I'm not sure if that's true or not, but try to be around as much as I can. Trinity is described as community in unity, diversity in unity, and even the word university. You know the word university; it comes from diversity in unity. There's something about many faculties coming together onto one. So we have that notion. Of course, other traditions have their notions as well as to what the Godhead looks like. It's at some point it is unfathomable for us. It's beyond our thinking. So this is kind of a way of exploring that. So I'll continue to derobe, but this is as far as I'm going. Put this back. So Dave is playing the role of the Christian pastor, and against type, as it were, I am playing the Muslim.
They won't let me wear a collar, though.
You can put mine on if you want. So this comes from an actual interview between a pastor and a Muslim who was exploring, having questions about his faith. He's from Saudi Arabia, but I'm not going to try an accent, all right? I'm just going to just do it straight. You Christians believe in three gods: Father, Mother, and Son.
What makes you say that?
Everyone knows that. You call it the Trinity.
Yes, you are right. The Christians believe in the Trinity. But it is not what you think. I know that this is what most Muslims understand.
So explain to me what you understand.
First of all, I want to tell you that the Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Secondly, I'd like you to read the verse from the Bible. God told Moses in the Torah to tell God's people these words.
From Exodus chapter 20? No, from Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Yes.
Okay. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Yes, that's right. This is one of the books of the Old Testament, the Torah. There is no question that the Bible teaches that there is one God. Read also Exodus 20, verse 3.
You shall have no other gods before me.
What do you think?
Well, I did not know this was in the Bible. This sounds like the Shahada.
Exactly. Where do you think the Shahada came from?
You mean Shahada is in the Bible?
Well, which came first?
You have a point there. But this isn't this what the Jews believed? What about Christians? Did Jesus say there is only one God?
Yes, sure. Here it is. Please read Mark 12, 28 to 31. This is a story of a man who knows the Torah well. He came to Christ to ask him questions, and Jesus answered him. Please, read the whole story.
One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.
What do you think?
This is interesting. It is good that your Bible teaches the truth, but why do you Christians say there are three gods?
Good question. Let me explain. What I know about God is a small fraction of who God really is. Do you agree that God, or Allah, is beyond our comprehension and he is greater than anything we can imagine?
I agree. He is.
Let me draw you a picture. Here is God at the top of the paper. Let us draw a cloud because God is far away, unapproachable and mysterious.
Okay.
Let me draw you this picture. Here is God at the top of the paper. Let us draw a cloud because God is far away, unapproachable and mysterious. Now, let us draw down here at the bottom a man on earth. This line represents the earth. Notice the huge gap between God and man. God is in heaven, man is on earth. God can see us, we cannot see him. God belongs to the invisible world and we belong to the visible world. Is that right?
Sure. So far, go on.
Gladly. Now let us assume that God wants to talk to human beings and tell them something they do not know. How can he do it?
Well, he could send prophets to speak for him.
Great. That is exactly what happened. Who are some of these prophets?
Adam, Noah, Moses, Abraham, Jesus, Muhammad.
Now, let us take one of them. How about Moses?
Sure, I know about Moses.
What do you know?
I know that God spoke to him in the desert. And there was some fire, a burning bush.
Yes, that is good. God spoke. Now, isn't this strange that God speaks? How does God speak? What is his language? What is the volume of his voice? Can Moses understand the language of God? Can his ears handle the power of God's voice?
Huh?
God's real voice is greater than the thunder. But God limited himself to the level of Moses. God spoke the language and even accent of Moses. He lowered his voice so low that Moses could hear it without hurting his ears. God used human language. Isn't that truly amazing that God speaks to man?
Yes, I agree, but what does that have to do with the Trinity?
The story of Moses teaches us about God and his nature. Because God loves us, he communicates with us. He spoke to Moses in the fire of the burning bush through a voice in a human language. He spoke to Abraham through an angel. Now, let us read an important verse from Hebrews 1:1-3. Can you read it, please?
Okay. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven.
Thank you. As you can see, God spoke through many different ways. But the main point is that every time God spoke, he used a human means of communication. These are manifestations of God. Do you understand what I mean?
Manifestations are ways that God appears to us, right?
Exactly. God is invisible. In order for people to understand him, he uses not a heavenly language, but human language and human means of communication. This shows his humility and love. So if God has done this for many centuries, it is strange that God reveals himself in a more perfect way than a voice or book. He revealed himself through Jesus Christ. Notice verse 3 in Hebrews 1. Jesus is the exact representation of God, his image.
I think I understand a little. It seems unreal.
Yes, it seems unreal. Let me explain something else. Is that okay?
Sure. I really not want to know about this God and Jesus.
Let us read John 1:1-3 and 14. This is another of those amazing verses that are difficult for a human mind to grasp.
John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Let me explain something about the Word. Before you speak, what happens in the brain?
Before you speak, what happens in the brain? You think. I think before I speak, I hope.
Right. You think about it before you say anything. If you order food at a restaurant, the waiter can wait for a long time without knowing what you like to eat or drink until you open your mouth and speak. So in a way, your words are children of your mind. In Arabic, we have a saying, Al-Kalamat Banatu Eshifa, words are daughters of the lips. Here in John, the gospel is saying that before God created the world, he thought about it. That thought is the logos in Greek. In Hebrew, it is wisdom. And in Arabic, it is al-kalima, or the word.
I see what you mean, but it's still hard to understand.
I totally agree. No one really fully understands it because we are earthly humans who are talking about heavenly things. In John 3, 12 to 13, Jesus said something like this to a high-ranking religious Jew who could not understand him. Will you read it, please?
Oh, here. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever seen God. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man.
Exactly. We humans are limited in our understanding, but we try our best. It is basically this. As the Word is a tangible manifestation of the mind, Jesus is the physical, tangible manifestation of God, who is the great mind and intelligent power. But what we need to understand is that Jesus is physically man, but in his spirit, he is God. Just as when you pour water into a bucket, it is still water. The bucket is just like the body of Jesus. The water is the Spirit of God.
That's a lot to think about.
I want to give you one other example, which I think will make things clear. Let us take the sun as an example. Here are the facts. The sun is 93 million miles away from us. We cannot ever go to the sun for two main reasons. One, we just cannot travel that far. Two, if we approach the sun, we will burn up. In the same way, God is so far away that we cannot approach him. Listen to this verse from Exodus 33:20. God said to Moses, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. But the sun can come to us in some limited form." How does the sun come to us?
How does the sun come? By its light, I guess.
Exactly. This is how God came down to us, through his light, Jesus. Please read John 9, verse 5.
While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Wow, that's interesting. So Jesus is the light that came down from heaven.
You got it. Just as you can see, the light that is here with us came from the ball of fire that is far from us, and yet they are one. Can we say figuratively that the fire is the father of the light?
I see. In Arabic, we have a word, walid. And walad. So the walad is Jesus and the walid is God?
Well, you seem to have grasped it. Exactly like the fire has light, and they are not separated, even though the light travels all these millions of miles. God the Father and Jesus the Son are inseparable. They possess the same nature. This is the only way we could experience God, by him coming down to our level. We cannot possibly go to him ourselves. He came down to us because he loves us and wants us to live in the light, not in darkness.
This is really good. So what about the Holy Spirit?
I was just about to talk about that. Let me ask you, what does the light bring with it? What do we experience other than being able to see everything around us?
Well, do you mean the heat? So the Holy Spirit is the heat?
Certainly. You can also call it the energy, the power, or dynamos in Greek. It seems that you really have begun to understand.
Yes, I think I do understand the concepts that you've explained to me, but For some reason, it still doesn't make sense to me. It seems impossible for God to be like that. I'd like to believe what you were saying, but what the Bible teaches, but I keep thinking about it, and I'm stuck.
I think I know why you are stuck, and it's not because you lack intelligence. You are very smart, but no matter how smart you are, you will never understand without one crucial element. Would you read 1 Corinthians 2:14 for me?
Okay. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he can't understand them because they are spiritually discerned.
You see, God is much too vast for any human to fully understand. So God must reveal the truth to us and enable us to understand it. If you truly want to understand this, you need to pray and ask God to open your eyes. To encourage you, let us read this short story from Matthew 6:13-17. Jesus wanted to help the disciples understand who he was, so he asked them, and this is what happened.
Okay, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven."
I believe that as Peter understood by God's revelation, you can too. The first disciples had trouble wrapping their minds around all this. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." Do you want God to reveal this to you?
Yes, I really do.
Then let us pray together. They prayed together that God would reveal himself, and they continued studying the Bible together and moved on to other topics and areas of difficulty. God answered the prayer of a genuine seeker. At its core, engaging anyone in a conversation about God is a spiritual endeavor, not an intellectual or cultural one. The battle must be won in the spiritual realm before a Muslim or anyone is able to see and hear the truth. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Dave.